Hello and welcome to another episode of It Was Mooney, your source for commentary on all things movie, streaming, and pop culture related. I'm your host, Kosi, and I'm joined always by Wani B. And today we're joined in studio again by our friend of the show, Eric. Thanks for coming by,
man. Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me again, dude.
So, Juan, what's on tap for today's show?
Hello, guys. Today we have another Trailer Trash special. We go over the trailers for The Boys, the TV show, and Quiet Place Day One. And then, you know, we're going to get into deep into the rap beef of the day.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Drake versus Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar.
K-Dot.
Yes. And always, guys, today's episode was recorded before a live studio ostrich.
All right. So
did your wife let you keep this in here, the ostrich?
We know she complained about it a bit.
I would too, man.
I didn't want to mention it, but yeah, it's definitely cool with the ostrich.
It's fluffy, so you know it's nice to pet.
I like the coat on it this time.
Yeah,
it's a good jacket.
No, like she was kind of fussy earlier, but I was like, come on, ostrich. We're having guests over. Let's just be cool.
And she knows what the deal is. She knows what the deal is.
Yeah.
All right, but I guess first up, that Quiet Place Day One. Seriously, man, I'm super excited for this. Have you all seen? You've seen the first Quiet Place, right?
No,
I haven't seen.
Oh, you haven't any of them.
Any of them. It's one of those movies where I don't think I cared about it, and then people were like, "Oh, it's actually really good." And then by that point, I already knew everything about the movie. It was already out. I just kind of blew it off, and then they kept making movies about it.
Yeah.
So one. I was just like, "Yeah." Now I'm over here. What, this is the third one, right?
It's the third one.
Yeah, so it's like, man, do you remember when Tears of the Kingdom came out and I was like, I feel like I have to play that first one now, and you're like, dude, you had 7 years. Like, you know, like,
like, dude,
I so late. I had so time late to watch all these movies.
Okay.
No, I still haven't.
Right.
No, listen, going over the concept real quick of the trailer, it basically seems to be a movie, a prequel. Day One obviously gives it away.
Yeah.
Basically, when the evil sound monsters,
Death Angels, that they call them.
Death Angels is what the name is. I like sound monsters.
They look oddly familiar.
The monster design.
They remind me of Cloverfield monsters.
They kind of do, right?
Which is probably my favorite alien movie of all time.
Oh man,
the first Cloverfield blew my fucking mind.
I love the design of Clover. Oh, just like the bipedal, but it was like backwards on
dude
like
it was
the,
a yeah, cool it was monster really cool. Yeah. It was
found footage
actually a semi-dramatic story. I felt bad for the people that died. Which in alien movies I don't really like. When someone gets zapped in Mars Attacks, I'm just like, whatever. Yeah, but like in like when someone dies in Cloverfield, I was like, dang, there's gravity there. Like
Quiet Place kind of has a little bit of that same feel.
You that's what I feel like.
Family values, that rustic kind of Americana.
Yeah. So the first one was Jim from The Office, right?
Jim from The Office
and Emily Blunt.
His real life wife. Yeah.
Oh, man. That must have been fun. Yeah, it's like or awful, depending on how you look at that.
Eric, they seem to get along.
But Jim also wrote and directed that movie, too. So it's like he was...
Oh, he made this movie?
Yeah.
It was his baby.
Yeah.
He put his wife in the lead role, everything. It was...
Okay, quick question. Now, this has nothing to do about Quiet Place. Was Jack Ryan worth watching?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay,
especially that first season.
We can stop talking about that. Yeah, okay, go on.
Put a pin in that one, yeah. But yeah, so this one takes – and after that first one, they had a Quiet Place Part 2, which took place like a day after the events of the first Quiet Place. Now, this one kind of goes back to the very beginning.
Do we know how far into the alien invasion in the first movie they were?
Yeah, they were about a year in. I think it was like day three.
Oh, so – okay.
About a year, but you know, it's a little bit indefinite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so this one is like, this is the first day the aliens made contact and – they're all about sound, so they landed in the worst possible city ever, which is New York City. So we have Lupita Nyong'o, Joseph Quinn, Alex Wolff, Jimon Hansu in there, and directed by the director Michael Sarnowski. He last directed Pig with Nicolas Cage, which is a great movie.
What did he do before that?
Before Pig? Pig was his first feature. He did stuff.
Oh, like, was it? Yeah, so Pig, he's a new director.
Yeah. So Michael Sarnowski's a new director. So
never mind.
Crazy. He went from Pig to this big budget movie like A Quiet Place Day One. But just from the trailer, so what do you guys think about the trailer? Anyway,
I thought it looked great. Again, like I feel like there's very few things that you need to make an alien movie work. One, you need a cool looking alien. Like, I feel like that's 101. Yeah, they have it. The aliens are cool. They have something that inhibits humanity from being normal.
They can't
make noise.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Something that
the alien gimmick, the noise gimmick for these particular aliens, it works well,
so good.
Particularly in the cinema where the sound of silence, so to speak, can be so powerful.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
They even have a scene in there where they have, you know, hundreds of people moving across New York.
Oh, that was amazing! Yeah, yeah.
And it's complete silence. And guys, I mean, we've all seen New York, right? Not just the movies. A lot of us have traveled. It's not a quiet city.
Dude,
right?
It's not quiet. Dude, Eric just showed us a video of New York winning like a playoff game, and they're just going
buck wild. Dude, they're calling Philly out, man.
Just going buck
wild. There's no way they would survive.
Yeah, they'd get killed instantly. Yeah,
yeah, it's the city that never sleeps for a reason. It is not a quiet place, y'all. I know that's a pun, but it is not a quiet place to be in. It adds to the impact. It adds to the impact. You know, you always see these zombie movies, these disaster movies. I know we're calling it an alien movie, but it's almost kind of a zombie vibe.
Yeah.
It's always kind of the post-apocalyptic, like we're always usually well into it. Mm-hmm. It is kind of neat to see that beginning because you see it's not just a flashback or something. You get to see that collapse.
You see the descent into madness. It's amazing.
You get to see how, I mean, one of the scenes is them blowing up the bridges, all the New York bridges.
Oh, that was another cool scene. Yeah, yeah.
With planes, with fighter jets. Mm-hmm. And
that was really cool.
And again, if you know how New York works and just the feel of it of, okay, we're suddenly trapped on this island.
Yeah, I guess not to sound like, I'm not from there, but like without those bridges, you can't leave whatever borough.
That's how people
you're in.
Get in and out of. I mean, New York is an island.
Different parts of the island.
Different boroughs.
Yeah. Like you have the bridges are what lets you go from New York to the rest of the U.S.
Effectively in other movies. I don't know if you remember in Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Where they did the same
thing.
I
Am Legend. I remember that
bridges.
Too.
I Am Legend.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a famous thing to like, okay, let's pull up the bridges, the New York bridges, and it gives that isolation. It gives like kind of a common landmark in America, like to kind of give that isolation vibe.
Yeah.
That dark, okay, we're all screwed in here, trapped with the monsters.
It definitely drives it home. Yeah, so I'm just reading this. Yeah, so John Krasinski, he was the original director of the first two. He wrote this, so you can tell he has his hands all up in this movie. I understand he couldn't come back as it has other different projects, but I am definitely looking forward to this. This is going to be a summer release, June 28th, 2024. So that was the Quiet Place Day One trailer. Up next, Juan, what's up?
Up next, we have the trailer for season 4 of The Boys.
Oh, yes, we do.
Listen, y'all, The Boys, one of my favorite TV shows. Definitely.
It's so good.
Much more original than some of the average Marvel fare. It gets a lot more gory. The themes, the characters, I don't even know if real is a word because it's so stylized, so over the top.
It's surreal, but yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, it's surreal, but the stakes feel more real.
Yeah, yeah, it like this and the 1-2 punch of this and Invincible on Amazon. Like they're really giving us what we really need and super.
There's two different vibes to the shows, but it gives us a look at superhero movies in a way that feels real and that asks real philosophical questions.
Yeah, like the hard-hitting questions, the ones that already
right.
Ask
they're not
a lot.
Just lucky-go-lucky superheroes that are just there and save the day and everything works out nicely. You know, that actually has a lot of political scenes, like overtly political overtones,
man.
Where you're talking about basically Republicans versus Democrats.
That's what we have with Homelander and Starlight. That whole thing, and Homelander is, look, he's like my favorite character on the show. Believe it or not, he's the most compelling in my opinion.
He is
Homelander.
Incredibly compelling. He's a super amazing villain. The acting goes hard.
Anthony Starr is so—he's so scary. Without even saying nothing, just his eyes and like just how his face is—he's
terrifying, but also pitiable at the same time.
Oh, you pity him?
It's
okay.
A rare combination. I think you're supposed to. I think you're supposed to see his childhood where he was basically treated as an experiment, right? I think you're supposed to realize that he's completely alone and just undeveloped in a mature way.
Okay.
Right? He's basically a child. He has mommy issues, daddy issues.
Yeah, most definitely.
to an extreme degree, right? Narcissism issues. So he's the clear-cut villain. You know he needs to be taken down. But I think the show does a good job of making you wonder, like,
what else is going on?
What if he'd had a nurturing mother and father? He really tries to be kind to his son in a legitimately touching way, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't immediately get upset and kill him or something, right? He seems to legitimately care. So again, I'm not pretending that he's the good guy, but you know, there was a clear moment, for instance, where it showed him with a Soldier Boy in the last season, where his, that was supposed to be kind of his father, right? His, where his genes came from.
Right, right.
And again, just like him really wanting to have a father, him willing to have a family, just the desperation for it.
Yeah, and I think there's a juxtaposition between Homelander and Billy Butcher, Carl Urban's character, where like, I think they're pretty cool foils for each other. Like one is like the hero that the world loves and reveres. This other guy is like a darker kind of other side of the coin.
He's so British, dude.
He's super so British, Carl Urban. Like I don't know. So what do you, so what do you think, Eric? Like
I never get tired of the evil Superman trope. I will always love watching evil Superman.
You can get tired,
what's some
but
of your other favorite. Evil Superman.
I mean, there's an invincible evil Superman.
Yeah, there's Brightburn, which was not great, but still kind of cool concept.
Even Red Sun Superman was really cool.
Zack Snyder Superman, if you depend on who you ask.
So. It was like there. It's just like someone. It's like the bad guys getting Darth Vader. You know, it's just like, oh man, it's kind of over right now.
Superman. I mean, that's his thing. He's a cheat code. Right. Most of the other superheroes have some kind of humanity to them, but Superman is just like, oh, almost like Goku, right? It just over the top. Oh, he just
wins
fights.
It's been said. This was on the first Superman death battle when it was Superman and Goku.
Okay.
There we go. They literally pulled this from the writers of Superman who are now like high up in DC.
Right.
But they said, and I quote, "Superman is as strong as he needs to be." What? Like that means that's he's going to kill everyone if he needs to.
Yeah, but he's definitely a god amongst men. But I think what's so compelling about him is that he is the god that's learning what it's like to be a man.
Yeah,
and I love that. And someone with Homelander, he is the god that's recognizing that he is a flawed man.
Yeah,
and it's really cool to see. That juxtaposition between Homelander and Superman, where like Homelander is like, what if Superman did not have like Ma and Pa Kent, but he had like a, he grew up in a lab or whatever.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool to see.
And like even then, people are just like, oh, Superman, you know, if you have kryptonite, like, dude. Bitch, no one has kryptonite.
Yeah, it's just conveniently in the plot by the writers to give some kind of stakes.
Like that.
But a real life Superman is more like Homelander, where he just wins.
Yeah.
The only real competition Homelander ever has is basically Wonder Woman, who's female Superman, basically.
With a little bit of magic thrown
and
in there.
Fire and force, baby.
And then Captain America, who's Marvel Superman without being able to fly. Right? It's not far off. Obviously, doesn't have all the, like really cool superpowers, but just like, oh, he's just as strong as it needs to be. That's a great quote because Superman, at the end of the day, wins. That's his.
Yeah.
That's what you want from
him. Dude, there was this like Future Justice League that had a line of comics where everyone was like different people. Like the Green Lantern was the White Lantern, so he embodied all the colors. Mm-hmm. The Flash was like three different people. Okay. And Superman was a fifth dimensional being. Like,
he just skipped the whole dimension.
He
didn't even go to the fourth dimension. He just skipped ahead.
He's just two dimensions above what we can even possibly imagine.
And I think what's great, we have stuff like Superman. What's so great about The Boys is it kind of like shines a little mirror on that. Mm-hmm. So we have in this season, right, with Billy Butcher. For those of you who don't know or haven't seen other episodes, right now in the world of The Boys, Victoria Newman, she's closer now to getting into the office. She is the character from the last season who was may or may not be a villain. We're not sure about her. But Billy Butcher is now sick, and he's has a race against time, really. So that's really been compelling to see how this man who's made his whole career on killing soups is now kind of like deteriorating because of the soup. So it's like, I think Billy Butcher is kind of poisoned by his whole relentless pursuit of killing Homelander. It's poisoned so much that his own son is siding with Homelander.
Siding with Homelander, his arch nemesis.
So it's really compelling to see just like
Homelander's
how it's going.
Son, to be specific.
I'm sorry, yeah, Homelander's son, but like Billy Butcher's like sees him as it's a lot of
it's because
cool elements going on.
It's his wife, so his ex-wife now, his ex-wife's kid, and his ex-wife made Billy promise that he was going to take care of the kid, keep him away from Homelander,
and he's failing right now.
And
so,
you know, it's an interesting look at the kid because you have some of the same issues with him where he grows up mom only, no father figure.
True.
He grows up basically in this sterile environment, this fake environment where they're kind of keeping him safe from Homelander in this faraway secret place, right? He's not allowed to do all the regular kid stuff. He's not allowed to just go hang out and do all these things. And so he gets to the point where he has these dueling father figures. His mom's husband and the one person who she truly loved, and then his actual dad. He has the superpowers that are starting to come in, so obviously he kind of wants someone to explain that to him. But then Billy is basically, because of his self-hate, because he's aware that his toxic need for revenge is destroying his relationship, and he just doesn't care.
Does not care.
He just doesn't care. Yeah. It's worth it to him. Mm-hmm. It's worth it to him to get that destruction, to get that revenge.
Like it's worth destroying his relationship.
Even if
with his son.
He doesn't care that he basically has no. He cares a little bit. He has these moments where
At the end, it got him. He definitely has some soft moments. Yeah, the last
season. But at the end, he can't bring himself to be a father to this kid. Not only because it's the kid of the man he hates most on Earth, but because the man he truly hates most
is himself.
Is himself.
Sorry, way to rip me off, Cozy. Sorry, no, but you're just fucking spot on with that because you can see it just in how he is. Like he hates Homelander so much that he'll burn his own house down. And that's what I love about this season. We're gonna see what does that do to Billy because Billy looks vulnerable. He's going to his crew for help. Like, hey, Mother's Milk. Hey, hey, Huey, can y'all stand behind me so I can go take this guy out?
Can we take a second? Mother's Milk looks a lot skinnier, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, I think, really? It's just, I don't
am
know.
Am I crazy?
Cozy.
You look kind of the same.
My dad used to bully Huey's dad in high school.
For real?
Wait, Huey? You mean Dennis Quaid? My dad went to the same high school as Dennis Quaid. Please explain to the listeners what he used to bully. He would just pants him all the time. Dennis would get a drink out of the vending machine, and my dad would just take the drink.
Dude, did your dad bully both Dennis and Randy, or they just not?
They said
Randy wasn't even alive.
They said Randy's older than Dennis.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But they were my dad, my uncle, and my aunt all unanimously said, "Oh, yeah, Randy was weird." Oh, man.
That's Randy Quaid. Yeah, what dude. Are the odds?
Dude, the guy that flew a ship into the alien ship in Independence Day.
I had to bring that up because we were talking
the
about
guy who
about
had two
Jack Quaid.
Low hands as daughters.
Hello, boys.
My dad was an influence on his life path, I want to say.
True story, y'all. Dennis Quaid is famous because of Eric.
He's not the reason why he became an actor, but it might be. It might be, man.
We will take all the credit.
No, but yeah, I'm excited for this. So this season of The Boys, it's going to premiere this summer. It's jam-packed summer. It'll drop on Amazon Plus on June 13th, so like in about a month. So we have over that. You have Gen V is a offshoot series that about it's related to The Boys.
Dude, how are they going to finish that?
It's great. It's great.
They're if anyone no. How are they going to finish?
They're not recasting Chance Bartolome.
Chance Perdomo. They're gonna. I guess they're gonna just write his part
character out.
They've begun production already on.
Yeah, they're writing his character out.
How did he pass?
Motorcycle accident.
That's
a big bummer.
Had a cousin die like that. It's very tragic.
Dude, that's so wow.
Yeah, man.
Motorcycles are death machines. Don't ride them.
Or at least wear a helmet.
It's... Even then, don't ride them, yo.
Yeah. but yeah. So
isn't that how
so many people died?
The kid from Star Trek died.
Oh no, Anton Yelchin. No, he died.
He got squished by a car.
Yeah, he put the he put his parking brake on like his Jeep Cherokee, and like he put the brake on. And he's like, all right, it's cool. It stopped. Went to down the hill to like open the gate, and the car just malfunctioned and rolled off, even though it was parking braked on. And it pinned him.
It's a freak accident.
So yeah, freak accident. So Imogene Poots, like his really good friend and co-star in a lot of stuff, found him. Like she was like, oh, you're not coming out to go meet us? And he's like, no response. She went over there and found him that way. So yeah, it was
Yeah, he got squished by his own car.
Yeah, man.
Very tragic.
Oh, man.
He's such a good actor, too. Y'all remember those movies?
There was that one movie he was in that I mean, there were a couple movies that he was in, but
I just remember from like
Charlie
Trek.
Something.
I just remember from Star Trek.
Cosey, what's that?
Charlie Bartlett.
Charlie Bartlett.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great movie.
That was a good one.
Yeah, but sorry to.
But yes, all the Star Treks are good.
Yeah,
I love them. Okay, sorry. I had to say that.
So I guess what we got next? We got the Planet of the Apes trailer, dude.
Yeah, no, Planet of the Apes.
I will say this. Didn't care for the Russian prison one.
Oh.
That Russian prison, that was the last one,
the
right?
War for the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, the one with Woody Harrelson.
Oh, my God. Oh, he was in that.
Yeah, he was the main bad guy.
Okay, so I'm remembering that James Franco was in the first one. And,
the one in 2011?
And that, it's, like, as the movies went, nobody from the previous movies was in the movie after.
Only Andy Serkis, Caesar, the main one.
Yeah, okay. But like, because like Draco Malfoy was in one of them, but he wasn't in anyone else, right?
He got murdered. Yeah,
it was just, he got murdered. That's
right. He got murdered, yeah.
Yeah. I think those movies are cool. I just think it's taking too long to get to where we want to get to.
So this is supposed to be hundreds of years in the future?
Yeah, like after the hundred years after the,
or at
after
least
the events.
Multiple generations, I don't know if they specify.
About 300 years after the events of the last one.
So it's kind of
one.
A sequel. They kind of reference it, but not the same characters. A little bit of a reboot.
Yeah, but like I love the reboot of it. I just like, so this movie that's coming out now.
Mm. Like right now.
Like right now is the movie that everyone wanted them to get to. They were like, cool, we're getting to the point where they're all talking now. Mm-hmm. They're riding horses. Mm-hmm. They're capturing humans. I feel like shouldn't have taken four movies to get there.
It kind of got already there with the second movie. We're at the point where humans are actually, at least the trailer implies, they're almost looked at like apes now.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about.
They can't talk. Just, they're like cattle,
just
basically.
Like that last movie, I just don't think I was a fan. And I think after the last one, I was like, man, it's taken way too long to get to where what I want to see. Like the movie that I want to see.
I still enjoyed it. One, because Woody Harrelson is an amazing villain. Yes. And two, because just that interplay between the apes and the humans still being a relevant force. You know, having the humans develop. I don't know if you all watched The Good Dinosaur.
Yes.
Yeah, or yeah. Like the reverse.
The Pixar movie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They reverse the Rose. It's like, okay, come on, man. You can't. It's just weird to get to the point where the human beings are just straight up animals.
Yeah. I see
yeah.
What you mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to have them as interesting foils for the apes.
Exactly. No, and right? Like with that said, I'm so excited to see this next one. Yeah. Like I have never been as excited to see a Planet of the Apes movie in my life than I am.
Animation wise, art wise, it just looks higher quality.
Yeah, the CG is amazing.
It looks great.
The fur on the apes,
the voices sound amazing.
Yeah, it's not a cast of people that we know. Like William H. Macy is like the person like I know the most in this.
He's
so like
Shameless.
Yeah, it's a great cast.
I know who the villain is. I just forgot who.
Yeah,
he is.
Proximus Caesar is the, villain.
Yeah, the guy who plays.
Oh, I'm Kevin Durand.
Yes,
he's amazing character actor.
Yeah,
not the basketball player.
Tell them,
tell the viewers what else he's been in.
Yeah, so they know. So Kevin Durand actually this year he had Abigail, which is the little ballerina vampire movie. But
he was in that.
Yeah, but he's been in stuff like 310 to Yuma. He was Fred.
310 to Yuma's great.
Yeah, he was Fred Dukes in X-Men Origins Wolverine. He was in Legion. The movie about with Paul Bettany.
It was so bad, but I love it.
Yeah.
I love watching that movie.
Yeah, again,
your baby's gonna burn.
Yes, he's a fantastic character actor, and I'm excited for him in this movie. But this is like Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and it comes out in theaters this weekend. So definitely excited to check that out, and we'll talk about that maybe next week.
I'm excited to see it. It's gonna be. Hopefully really, really good. Hopefully. And hopefully it will be... I mean, I can't see there being too many more movies after this one.
Surprised, man. Hollywood does not...
You can stretch it out, man.
Hollywood does not fuck around with stretching out IPs way beyond their...
Can we all agree that the Mark Wahlberg movie was trash?
I recently saw it. Hey, not as bad.
90% yes.
Not as bad as I thought it was.
Kosi, you liked everything, bro. I'm sorry. I'll call you out. All right, the ending scene where they come back to Earth and it's like an ape world, but it's like New York City.
Yeah.
That's some wild shit.
That's okay.
Here's what I'll say. It's not I'm not saying it's a good movie, but like what Tim Burton was going for, all the design, Tim Roth, who played the main bad guy.
Yeah.
Like,
I love him, dude.
What's his name? The blue guy from Big Fat Liar. Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
There are a lot of cool things that were
pulled
done.
Pulled him from Big Fat Liar? That was the movie you pulled him from?
Not Sideways or something?
Yes.
Not Sideways.
Hell,
not The Holdovers, which you got nominated for, but no, Big Fat Liar. No,
he won for Sideways, right?
I think he won.
Yeah, he has a couple of awards, man.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, but he's the blue guy from Big Fat Liar. But no, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not gonna offend that it's of its quality, but I can see what Burton was going for. And yeah, it's rewatching it.
Yeah.
It's not the 68 film. The 68 original is masterpiece in sci-fi.
Heston one.
Yeah, Heston one. Yes.
You damn dirty apes.
Yeah, they did things in that movie that's incredible. But like the Burton one, if we can kind of forget that one.
I like how they still said that line. In the new ones,
Michael Clark Duncan said it,
still,
but he's reversed. Like,
well, no, it was Malfoy said it.
Oh yeah,
get your hand off me, you damn! I was like, you don't need to. You don't need to put
stop
that in
it, here, Draco. No, but I'm excited as you are. But well, this I guess moving on. But this really isn't trailer talk. But that Superman suit. We have a Superman movie coming out next year with James Gunn. He's the head of DC, and he's trying to get us excited for Superman, his new movie called Superman 2025. And
also, so he dropped that. He also dropped a picture of Peacemaker Season 2.
What?
There was a picture of him. It was him taking a picture of himself through the back of the helmet that John Cena
cool,
wears.
Cool. Okay, yeah, nice. I love Peacemaker.
Man. So but, that was good, such a good show. That was a great show.
But I guess, what do you think of the picture?
So basically, it's a picture of Superman kind of putting his suit on.
Yeah, I want to know what's going on in the back
and then
of that
in
picture.
The background,
where the galaxy's like, breaking,
the Gatling gun.
Yeah, it's Vegeta firing a Gatling gun. That's obviously the only thing.
Hey, shout out to Aaron for helping me out. I thought it was a Kamehameha, but he's like, nope, guys, that is actually a Gatling gun. So
yeah, it's pink.
So thanks, Aaron.
So you can tell. No, listen, y'all. He has it's very much a tired of the shit. Same shit, different day type super. Same shit, different day type Superman.
Yeah.
Where his suit is a little grimy. It's kind of dirty.
He's been in a battle.
Really worn.
Yeah.
The suit's also pretty thick.
But we also know from watching, it takes this dude like a second to put on a suit.
He's taking
So I know, like, him taking his time, he's just like,
He's over it.
To be fair, this suit is like a combat suit, right? It's one of those more realistic.
Yeah, it feels
suits.
Like a suit.
Yeah,
for
but
battle.
He's Superman. He could
do it super quick.
He moves at the speed of light, dog.
Yeah,
they always fuck around with the continuity of how fast Superman can move. You know what
Speeding
I mean?
Speeding bullet, I hear, but now he's like can go and like.
Lest you remember him moving back time.
Dude, Christopher Reeve got so sad that Margot Kidder died that he flew across the Earth in reverse.
Do you remember the Richard Pryor movie
for Margot Kidder? Do I ever?
Can I insult that scene for a second? Do you know what would happen if he actually reversed the rotation?
Kill Margot Kidder.
The floods. There would be floods that would destroy us all.
Floods, earthquakes, probably volcanoes would start erupting and shit. We would die.
But Juan. But Juan.
Time would not be reversed. Lois Lane would not come back.
Juan.
Please.
But his wife would be alive.
Thank you.
That would not happen. I can guarantee of all the things, he probably would have been better off hitting up Doc Ock, or what is his face, Doc, from getting some polonium and just flying back in time.
I'm just letting you know right now, dude, if the wife that I don't have died, I would be okay with just sacrificing California to get her back.
If I could turn.
No, he actually saved California because they got nuked and there was an earthquake. And he reversed
that.
He reversed that too.
Like, dam broke and he reversed that. Yeah.
I'm just letting you know, I will not.
Gene Hackman honestly had a great plan. He was the winner of that movie, but then Superman cheated and did something stupid and somehow it worked.
Guys, not all of those movies are good.
Are any of them?
I'll defend the Zack Snyder.
One of them is good. One of them is okay.
The Donner one's okay.
And the other ones are you don't need
Superman
to watch.
1 and 2 are amazing. After that,
those were the ones I read.
2 was pretty good. That's the only General
Zod. One was
amazing.
Great.
Zod's amazing. Yeah.
That was a pretty good movie.
Amazing.
One was great. Marlon, that was the easiest acting Marlon Brando had to do in his fucking life.
Those archive footage. No,
his dad was Marlon Brando. Dad was Marlon Brando.
Jor-El.
Yeah.
But they had his face in the holographic image talking to him, and you could just tell that he was like.
I think he's already crazy from like Army from Into what's that movie that Marlon Brando was
the
in?
Movie he did before
this is not Armageddon
like, no Apocalypse Now
Apocalypse
he,
yeah
he was going nuts
dude,
around that
you
era.
Can
yeah, yeah.
You can tell that he was just gone
out of it
he was gone so like it, the fact that we got anything at all from him. In that movie,
because that definitely inspired Power Rangers. The main
Zordon, that's clearly what the inspiration was. Absolutely, but like, man, going back to my original point, it reminds me of like okay, if thinking of really chill acting roles. Sir Anthony Hopkins in the second Thor movie when he was just dressed in a Hawaiian shirt and shorts.
He did not care, bro.
Chill role.
I think with this version of Superman we're getting, like unlike last ones that we've seen, I think we're going to get a clear distinction of like Clark Kent and Superman. I think with Zack Snyder, his version, I think treated Clark as like an afterthought almost. But I think because it was for the character, it wasn't conducive to what they're doing. But I think with this one, Gunn's going to go back to like the comics and have like, we're going to see both Clark and Superman. I think this one picture you showed is showing us the power that Superman is, but like the world weariness of Clark, because like it's not easy being,
you know,
human, quote unquote, and having all these superpowers.
That's one thing I might argue back on you with. This dude looks so jacked and well put together. It's one thing to have that kind of coiffed hair in the 1950s when there's only white dudes, everybody's wearing a suit, and that's just, you know, the Don Draper era. But like, it's hard to take that look at that guy and be like, oh yeah, this is just a regular ass reporter from the Daily.
True.
From the Daily Bugle. That guy looks like he needs to be a superhero, regardless of whether or not he's Superman.
Yeah, the alter ego of Clark, as opposed to Superman. It's funny how they did it. Like Chris Reeve was my adventures with Superman.
Actually, a little bit.
Great idea. Yeah,
where they played with that, where it's like, hey, this guy is way too jacked to just be a regular intern at a newspaper.
I may be more excited, if not the same level, to see how, what's it, Nicholas Holt does Lex Luthor.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for that.
That should be really cool.
That's fantastic casting.
Nicholas Holt, what other roles did he do?
He was in The Menu with Anya Taylor-Joy last year. He was just that dickhead.
He was Beast
in the Menu.
In First
Beast.
Class.
I know you're talking
he
about.
He was Nux in Mad Max. Like, he's an amazing actor. He's one of the guys, he actually
Witness.
Went. Yeah, he actually.
Witness me! Witness me!
He actually tried out for the role of Batman that eventually went to Robert Pattinson, but he's been in that circuit of trying out and finally getting this role. And like,
he's actually excellent in The Menu, if you
Yeah, he's amazing in The Menu. So like, and this cast, Rachel Brosnahan, freaking Mrs. Maisel as Lois Lane, Isabella Merced, she's hot girl. Eddie Gathegi, he was actually in another X-Men movie. He was Darwin, remember the guy that got blown up, even though his power was not to get blown up. Yeah, he's playing Mr. Terrific.
Literally, his power
did that happen?
Yeah.
There was a dude whose power was to
not get blown up, and he got blown up.
Super fast to whatever, but then he like did that.
Dude, what X Men movie is that?
X Men First Class. Kevin Bacon killed him with Kevin Bacon from Footloose killed him. Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner, Green Lantern.
That's gonna be great.
It's a stacked cast, so like I'm really excited for it. And like this first, again, it's just a first look. It's not even a trailer. It's just a picture.
It's literally a picture.
We know nothing, but I think this picture kind of paints a little bit more of a picture of what Gunn's going for. And like,
it's not the happy-go-lucky Boy Scout Superman.
It's a different one.
This is a Superman that understands how difficult his job is.
Yeah.
So, Main story of the day, y'all. Main story of the year.
Dude, this might be the story of the year, man.
Rap battle. Modern rap battle. Nobody's going to die like Biggie and Tupac.
Aren't you happy to have, like, the rap beef, like, back? Like, it feels like it's back now. It feels like we're, like, back to, like,
I just wish it was more East Coast versus West Coast instead of fucking Canada versus... versus West Coast.
I picture Drake rapping, you know, like the
Canada guys. It's just Toronto versus the entirety of...
Or wherever Drake thinks he's from this week.
It's a little more personal than some of the other ones.
Is it ever? It's insanely personal.
But like in almost a weird way. Like, you know, it used to be, okay, like Nas versus JC, Tupac versus Biggie. They were rap battling each other. These are two grown-ass men, you know, airing each other's laundry through rap. That's what this is.
And I think, okay, listening to classics like Either I'm sorry, Hit Him Up. Like, those went below the belt. Tupac famously says, hey, man, I fucked your bitch before. Yeah.
My fofo makes sure all your kids don't grow.
Yes. Like, what I think, yes, yes, they're kind of going overboard, but it definitely rings back to, like, of yesteryear, of the beefs of, like, hey, in a beef, I'm going to basically try to make you cry. But nowadays beef is, I'm gonna try and get you canceled, which what Kendrick is trying to do. Just real quick, I want to walk y'all through a real quick recap of this. So this has been going on since like 2011. So Kendrick and Drake have had like some sort of a beef since then. So Kendrick actually featured on Drake's album Take Care. And then they had another collaboration a year later on Kendrick's album Good Kid, Mad City, an amazing album. And so Lamar, years later, because basically Drake would take like young and up and coming performers with him up on tours, like to put them on. Drake is actually well known for really putting a lot of rappers on. Like 21 Savage is like another big example of it. Kendrick didn't feel as though he got that kind of support from Drake, and like he's trying to like and so like even early on in their career, it's been brewing. Like, you're this big artist, you put me on, but after you put me on, you kind of left me hanging. I've had to like pick my own self up. So Kendrick put out this record called Control in 2013, and he kind of named all the big rappers. He's not saying, hey, I hate you. I'm saying, hey, in the competition, I'm gonna try and go for y'all's next. And that's kind of where it started. So ever since then, Drake has kind of seen Kendrick on like his periphery, but Kendrick is always just not like Drake for a bevy of reasons I won't go into, but a lot of it has to do with just how Drake is to the culture, meaning black culture. Drake kind of like picks and chooses when his blackness.
Yeah, it was like you can't.
There. It's
you
kind of can't, it's corny behavior.
You can't claim white privilege and drop the N-word all the time. Like, yeah, you have to choose one.
And that's where Kendrick had an issue with him.
Like, I see that. Yeah. I see that.
So, like, so begin. Yeah.
Damn it.
Let's not get Eric canceled, man. So it began, the actual, like, war kind of began this in March, where J. Cole and Drake got on Like That. Great song. J. Cole, like, happy to see J. Cole back. And J. Cole was, you know, rapping on there and kind of like perked up the ears of Kendrick. After Drake and Lamar were, they're considered like the big three. So there's like Drake, Kendrick, and Lamar. They said the big three. So Kendrick was kind of again just saying, hey, you know, screw y'all. It's big me on like his next on his track. Sorry, I'm butchering this.
And then J. Cole just dipped out. He fucking was like, cool, I'm gonna let you two deal with this. And that was the best decision anyone ever made from that point on.
Dude, it's a grown-ass man decision.
It's one of those where, like, I bet someone, like, tipped Drake, J. Cole, like, hey, man, you might want to stay home from school today.
You might want to.
It's going to get dirty.
You might just want to take it, take that track he came out with, and just chill.
Yeah. And then, so this past weekend is where it kind of all went crazy. So hold on, make sure I have this correct. So Drake released a song called Push Ups. And in that song, he's kind of making fun of Kendrick's height. Kendrick isn't the tallest guy, and like making fun of how Kendrick is like shorter than his wife and whatever. It's just making fun of short kings out there. Hey, short kings, don't take that. And Kendrick did not take that line down.
Drake a bitch.
And then he also like Drake also used like Tupac Shakur's like use some of his music on that. A lot of stuff that
Kendrick's idols growing up were Tupac and Snoop. And
huge
so
West Coast guy.
He used AI voiceovers of those two people talking to Kendrick, and the Shakur estate sent him a cease and desist letter. So he had to take the song down.
Yeah, and I think that's what really got Kendrick, okay, this guy thinks I'm playing. So Euphoria comes out, and that's where we kind of start getting, you know, kind of personal. That's where he starts alluding to...
And Juan, Euphoria was the name of his song because Drake was the producer of the HBO show Euphoria.
Teens having sex and having getting into
sexualizing
all
high school
stuff,
essentially.
And, you know...
I can't watch that show just because of that. Like, don't get me wrong.
Well, cool. Drake was a part of it.
Don't get me wrong. Getting to see Sydney Sweeney and Zendaya naked is a big plus, but...
I see what you mean. It's a great show.
It's weird.
It's a great show, though.
Being like, oh, hey, I'm going to
watch
the show.
It's weird that they're being portrayed as high school students.
Right.
And you're watching
okay.
it. That's what's
right.
weird
I've
about it.
I've seen adults portraying high school students, right? We all remember Kristen Stewart?
Dunst. Dude, it's like...
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst.
Spider-Man, yeah.
Playing Spider-Man. She looked 25 years old as a 17-year-old.
Joe Manganiello looked older than their teacher in that movie.
Dude, that happens in anime all the time, where they try and make a girl sexy, and then you're like, oh, she's supposed to be 14 in this?
Whoops, sorry,
yes,
guys.
It is a
wow, thanks
feeling.
For fucking telling me from the first episode.
It is a creepy feeling.
It's weird. So that's why Euphoria was weird for a lot of people.
Yes, I have a struggle with that. I know they're adults. I know I'm allowed to be attracted to them. But you're telling me on the show that's supposed to be a 16-year-old that's getting, you know, railed by some dude.
So reeling it back in, that's why he named that song Euphoria.
Yes, okay.
And so he dropped that on April 30th. So a couple days later, he dropped 616 in L.A. on May 3rd.
Dude, this is all in the span of, like, I think, like a weekend.
Yeah, about a week.
It's
coming up.
Popped off recently.
Yeah.
So then Drake, after 616 in L.A., Drake responded with what we all thought, even when I heard it, like, yo, this might be the one where he shuts it down, a track called Family Matters, where really cool video to go with it. In the video, Drake is shown in the album for Good Kid, Mad City, Kendrick's first album. There's a van on there. So Drake like got a replica of the van and like crushed it in like a crusher, just saying, hey, you don't want this. And Drake basically went on vacation. He's basically in that song accused Kendrick Lamar of beating his wife. Also, he said one of his kids, he was like just was fathered by one of his like either producer or bodyguards. Yeah. And he did lay that track down, and Drake said, kind of did like, I'm done.
Close his laptop. And but that's when it got personal. And
right
that,
there.
And that that's Family when it matters that's when personal. It started getting like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Like, dude, Kendrick's next song after that was like some fucking Reverse Flash type shit.
So yes. Exactly. So 40, let's say 45 minutes later after Drake sends Family Matters, sends
and
it
literally
out.
Literally 45 minutes.
Dude, yes. Literally,
won.
Like, within the hour.
45 minutes.
Okay.
Drake has left. He thinks he's won. He's on a boat somewhere, chilling, just drinking, whatever. Kendrick drops Meet the Grams. Now, Meet the Grams is an obliteration of an album, of a track. This is Kendrick kind of, and the song is Kendrick kind of scaled back, but he's addressing Drake's family, like his mom, his dad,
his son. The song is broken up into three parts.
Yes.
The first, he's addressing Adonis, his son. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, like, I'm sorry your father's a fuck up. I'm sorry you have to stand behind him your whole life. If you need mm-hmm. a father figure, come to me. Listen to the song again when you're 18 and you'll understand everything.
It's real devious shit.
The next part of the song, he's addressing Drake's father, saying, like, you raised
a sexual predator.
You raised a sexual predator. You're a piece of shit.
Did not mince words.
This and this and that.
Then addresses his mom after.
Yeah,
too.
And then the last part of the song, he addresses Drake and says he wants him dead in the street. He's going to slit his throat. Dude, it gets real.
Like, he wasn't kidding.
It gets fucking
this
real.
This isn't even beef now. This
it's,
is just...
it's called Meet the Grams because Aubrey Graham is Drake's name.
Yeah. Yes. And it's a really dark beat. It's like kind of like, oh, snap. So it's like, oh, no. But then I think what was brilliant was that Kendrick always had another bullet in the chamber.
Yeah.
So right after that, he released Not Like Us.
And that's why it was big, is because I think like Meek Mill was the last time someone released a double diss track.
Yes.
One after another.
Yeah.
So it's not, it doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah. So Not Like Us came out, I believe same day, like did it. Then hours later, another one. And this one was where he kind of like doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down to like, hey, you're a pedophile. Everyone knows it. Stay away from, hey, LeBron, Steph Curry, stay away from this guy. People are now crip walking to a track
that was Drake, not a pedophile. Not Like Us was his victory lap.
Yeah.
To all that, like, West Coast is going to be singing this for years.
So you remember Back to Back? This is Back to Back, but 10 years later. It's just that.
And like, a lot meaner. How Drake took it was so weird because he basically, his next track was, he basically started agreeing with Kendrick and then started dissing himself. So like the way it panned out was Kendrick was like, you're pedophile, you have a sex ring, you have a secret daughter, this and this and that.
And please die as well.
And Drake's response was just like, nuh-uh.
I know you are, but what am I?
It was so weird. And so, dude, it's been probably, man, I'm so glad this happened when we were adults.
Oh yeah. It's sweeping the nation in a way I've not seen. One, rap music now is relevant again.
When was the last big rap beef?
I'd say Meek Mill. Well, no.
Wasn't Drake, it Birdman? Wasn't it Birdman?
Yeah, but the last big one Birdman I'd say is counts. I say Drake and Pusha T, if you ask me. That was the last like big one. Like,
yeah, you're right.
Okay, because Drake, Pusha T is an OG.
Pusha T has been there, yeah.
Been there for a while.
Bro. I'd say Eminem and MGK, but that was like...
That was a while ago.
He's gonna like destroy you. But yeah, Drake and Pusha T was one. But like this really does feel like old school battling.
And like it's cool because they are two completely different rappers. Like Drake has always been hitmaker, flavor of the week,
radio hit.
Pushing out over 300 songs, where Kendrick only has 78, and he's critically acclaimed.
Did you know?
You know,
not like us. This will be Kendrick's first ever number one single as an artist. He's never had a number one on his own. He's featured but Kendrick never had it. And Drake kind of gave Kendrick this. People were saying Kendrick might, if Kendrick put out an album, which he will, he's going to put out an album this year, it might win a Grammy. Drake, because he couldn't mind his own business.
Didn't Butterfly win a Grammy?
It didn't.
Did it not?
Did it lose to Macklemore?
Yeah.
No way it went to fucking Macklemore.
No way you're finding the
dude,
sound.
Look that up. Look that up.
No goddamn way you're finding
Jamie,
the
pull that up.
I'll pull it up. I'll pull it up, Jamie.
That's a true story, bro. Macklemore apologized to Kendrick Lamar like a bitch ass.
Yeah.
Was it the Thrift Shop album?
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here. No, it was not.
It's because he said something like how gay people were nice or something.
Oh, it was 2012, so like.
We were very woke.
Macklemore's a joke. We were very That's like if Riff Raff won a fucking Grammy.
Yep, it lost Best Rap Album to Macklemore.
Macklemore just dropped the Palestine track, I think. He's trying to get back on the social conscience.
That's what that is? Macklemore. I saw that. His hit, Macklemore had new material. Okay.
Yeah, he's trying to get back on that social conscience hype.
Well, I guess, what do y'all think? Do y'all think that this has got the rap beef? Like, if I'm rapping about Eric, I'm trying to rap about stuff that I know. And that it's true, but I think
he went for the throat, dude.
Do you think he went too far?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Okay.
There is all is fair in love and war and rap beefs, man.
Well, like, but either one, like Drake and Kendrick, like.
Because I feel like once Drake took it personal, I mean.
As soon as he talked about his wife, Kendrick said, all right, you made it. You've brought this to my front door now.
Because one thing, talking shit, like we all remember Nas, Jay-Z. They were just talking shit to each other.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Well, right. the only reason why the Biggie and Tupac thing was as big as it was because people died.
Yeah, because they both died.
If nobody died over it, I don't think that beef would have been as monumental.
I mean, it still would have been a big.
It still would have been a big deal, but
because they were the number one and two.
It's now reached mythical status because they're both
legendary. Dude, above that,
Nas and Jay-Z, and right, they're still.
I mean, nobody knows if Tupac died, right?
What? Oh, yeah, he's still alive. He's definitely still alive out there.
He probably died.
Oh. Of course he died.
It's not like Elvis.
But I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if this happened now and then tomorrow, they both got shot and were sent to the hospital and then died.
Dude, someone shot up Drake's house. I know it's like, apparently it's not connected. It's like another thing, but like, it's not for play.
People are saying because of this and because of the Shakur, like him faking Tupac's thing, like Oakland as a city is like, we will kill you if you come here.
Oh, you can't go to Oakland anymore?
No. Well,
Kendrick said it did not like us, so you can't go there anymore.
The West Coast will tear him apart.
Okay, so do y'all think Drake comes back from this? I think Drake. It's an L, definite L. But I think Drake can honestly come back from
this. This is not something, dude. Drake's gonna have a song that is gonna be on the radio in 3 weeks. Like That's the way he can do it.
People who are Drake fans, do they even really care about this
one,
stuff?
If you're a Drake fan, this will not sway you at all.
If you're a big Drake stan, you like Hotline Bling and all this crap.
The only reason
does really change anything for you?
Of course not.
The only reason why I'm paying attention to this is because it's exciting.
Oh yeah.
And it's fun. Yeah. And it's like it's been a while since we had beef that was this good. I haven't heard a song like Meet the Grams that was that evil and inflected at someone.
That's what it was. It's
like,
evil.
It's like that Immortal Technique song. Like walk with the devil. That's an evil song. Dance the devil. That's an evil song. We can agree.
Don't listen to that, y'all.
We can. No, you know. Hey.
Oh, but don't
prepare yourself psychologically.
We can agree that it's evil. Guys. Yes.
Yes, it's an evil song.
Now, how much more evil would it be if it was directed at someone he knew?
Oh yeah,
not just a made up story. Yeah, like that's what Meet the Grams was. It was. It's a real person.
And it messes me up when Dance with the Devil when he says this is a real story and that he's new Billy too.
Oh yeah, I listened to it once. Immortal Technique is a fantastic rapper. Listeners out there, if you know who he is, he's an amazing lyricist.
The only people that really listen to his music are angry. So, you know, if you're angry, you'd love it. But
no, there's like, I gotta show you a song. It's like, I can't remember what it's called. Obnoxious. It's just him trolling. Literally just him being obnoxious. It's hilarious.
Okay.
Immortal Technique has a troll persona to him,
but like he's a storyteller. Kendrick was just attacking,
but Kendrick is also a storyteller.
He is, but this wasn't a story. This was him just taking out.
And Kendrick usually isn't in attack mode. This is why
very
it's
personal.
This is why it was pretty crazy. It's
extremely
to see.
Personal.
It was crazy to see this side of Kendrick because you know he's usually like low key.
Even
you know,
hit him up. The closest he got to personal was him insinuating he fucked Lil Kim.
Okay.
But even then, it's not like Biggie was married to her.
Yeah. Dude, Drake, even in his song, called himself out when he was like, yeah, this rap beef was fun. It was nice to actually get my pen and paper and write again. It's been a while. It's like, dude, did you just admit you have ghostwriters? Like, this dude is he's taking himself as a joke.
Pop rap, bro.
I think that's gonna have to be the angle Drake goes. One, he'll have to come out with a banging single, which it's Drake. He will be featured with somebody.
Dude, he's going to be on the radio in 3 weeks. He's going like, to it doesn't matter.
He's going to have to steer into this because there's no way he can't be like, well, I'm not like he made. I think his response was that the heart part sick misstep, huge misstep. I think he and his team understand that. And I think they're going to just come back, let this die out, but come back with a banging single.
I think the only beef that ended someone's career without people dying. Legit was when Machine Gun Kelly, when rappers bullied him out of rap, so he switched genres. that was the only time that rap beef like changed someone's career path. Every other time there was rap beef, like all these rappers, like Birdman and Meek Mill, like they're all still rapping,
still rapping,
and they're all still making singles.
Machine Gun's career was revived by his. But his beef was.
But Juan, no one's ever just gone to another genre.
The rap world as a collective told Machine Gun Kelly,
get out.
If you make another rap album, we're going to kill you. So he was just like, cool. I'm a white dude, so I'm just gonna make emo music.
I'm just gonna start making emo music now. Strum the guitar,
dude. That was hilarious. But that's like every other rap beef. What's happened 2 months after? Everyone's still making music.
Yeah, yeah.
This was just a really personal one.
I just also hope, just for the sake of like potential victim, I hope the allegations against Drake aren't true. Just for this, I don't want it to be true that someone was molested underage by Drake. So I hope that's not true. I guess we'll have to wait to see just what.
I think
he was creepy.
Yeah, I don't think he molested or raped anyone, but he's a fucking weirdo, dude.
He's definitely a weirdo for that.
He's a fucking creep.
He's definitely a creep for that. Okay. No, that's fair. That's fair.
It's a bad look.
Definitely a bad look, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but guys... Hey, dude, I'm glad y'all
way,
could...
Put it this way. I have exactly 0 16-year-old girls I text on a regular basis.
Thank you.
Right? And I'm going to keep it that way.
Like, do you know...
Yeah.
How much?
That's it. That's it. There's no other real thing guys, to discuss.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh, it's, you liked whatever. What was that show? The Netflix show.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. That's not a good reason to continue to text a 16-year-old.
Dude, don't text her. Yeah. Do you know how much of a plus it is that we just don't like kids?
Oh,
that's a huge plus in this world.
It's a
dude.
Big plus.
I do enjoy not being a pedophile.
And it's and here's the thing, not hard.
Dude. Very easy.
It's really not difficult.
I find 30-year-old women very attractive.
I think about it less than I do breathing. Like it's not something I really have to come back to think about. Like, oh, am I attracted to this? No, I'm not.
Hey,
it's
if anything, not, I'm like give me some MILFs over something.
What's that?
Right?
What's that? I think if anything, the memes that are coming out of this have been top.
It's why I love the internet. The internet always has.
I've been seeing the Frank from Sunny.
The internet is always the winner.
I've been seeing the one where
diddling kids.
We no more diddling kids. We can't be diddling kids.
We don't like diddling kids.
There is the one where it's Dwight in the office and he kicks the coffin open and shoots it, like two shotgun bullets inside of it, and it's just Kendrick and Drake. Like Drake was already dead, but he's just fucking firing two rounds into him.
Yeah,
the memes coming out of this are fucking hilarious.
It's the memes, and I think it's like again, like the West Coast rap. It's like Kendrick is West Coast, but they haven't had like a unifying like track like this in a long time. It's really really cool to see that one. I hope whatever Kendrick does next, it's gonna be amazing. I'm definitely gonna do a whole lot better than this last album.
If Kendrick came out with those diss tracks that fast, there's no way his next album isn't fucking fire.
He's in the lab. He's Kendrick. He just needed something. Side note,
did you listen to Vultures?
No, I have not.
Kanye and Tiger, I think, or not Tiger.
I haven't even. Are they beefing?
No, it's their album.
Oh, their album.
It's only on like Spotify Music and YouTube, right? Or not Spotify, Apple Music and YouTube.
Oh man, no, I.
It came
I
out like not. Like a month ago. Listen to Vultures, and we'll talk about it next time. I want to know what you think about it.
We'll do. But yeah, I guess it's going into our next part. But before we bookend this. Rap beef is back. Rap music is now relevant. I love this. I just wish that, we can just move on from this and start making good music. I'm glad we're getting good music out of the both of them.
Do you say that because you don't think rap music has been relevant in the past 5 years?
Yeah, I think a lot, like, it's not, it hasn't captured the nation like this. Like, if anything going on in rap world, it's like, oh, it's cool. But
when was the last time rap was as popular as it is now to you?
Oh, man.
Era.
Honestly, probably when Kanye was still making hits.
Yeah, like early 2010s when Kanye was still like before he went absolute nuts. But like around that time, Drake,
Lil Wayne brought it back on the map too.
Drake was big back then. Yeah. Lil Wayne was still making music. Mm-hmm. Even Eminem had an album.
I fucking love Lil Wayne.
Future,
man.
that was like the emergence of Future, who's one of the I say he's in my Mount Rushmore of rappers.
We had a bunch of other.
That's
like,
that's the white
rappers.
Dude, right? No, that's Logic. Okay, never mind. So, Future's a producer.
Future is an Atlanta rapper producer. Black guy.
Okay.
Logic is a white guy.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to.
Well, no,
describe
Logic
him.
Is I think half black.
I'm pretty sure he's half black.
Believe it or
I
not.
I don't know how else to describe Logic. Guy with glasses, like
he looks very white.
Yeah, yeah. Like when I say white guy rapping, it's either Eminem, Little Dicky, or Logic right now.
Man, Lil
Those
Dicky.
Are the only like.
Shout out to Little Dicky. Dave's an amazing show. Hell yeah. But yeah, I'm glad we're able to just give our thoughts on the beef. But coming out of this part, the plug of the week. This is the part of the show, guys, where you guys have the floor to plug anything you're reading, watching, playing, enjoying. So who wants to go first?
I can go first this time.
All right, what's your plug of the
week? I've been watching Three Body Problem on Netflix. Yes. It is a book series that has been adapted to the screen by the people who ruined Game of Thrones for us.
Who are those guys again?
D.B. Wise and what's the other guy's name?
Steve Benioff, I think.
Steve, yeah. David Benioff or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's D.B. and D.B. or whatever.
DB.
But
Douchebag and Douchebag.
There's only one season, 8 episodes out right now. Each episode is an hour. Kosi brought up earlier, or you brought up earlier, Juan, that Game of Thrones really started falling off when they stopped running out of material to pull from.
Yes.
This show is still good because they still have material they can pull from. So until I was telling you guys earlier, don't get invested. Like, don't get attached to it. It's good for what it is. It's a good show. The production value of that is incredible. The acting's great. It has a couple people from Game of Thrones. I hammered it out in like a 2-3 days. I thought it was definitely worth watching the first season. So that was what I wanted to plug.
Three Body Problem. It's on
Netflix. Okay. It's on Netflix.
I'm on. How about you, dude?
I'm gonna take a little bit of a throwback here. I wanted to plug Death Note.
Ooh, and
we've been. I was really watching that actually with my wife.
Is that one season or two?
It's not. It's not seasons. They're technically kind of two parts.
Yeah, but you know how anime is. Anime likes to split everything up into arcs.
Yeah, so it's kind of two arcs.
Two arcs. Okay. Okay.
So it's again, it's not like a clear cut season or anything like that.
Yeah, it's all on the same list, but it's divided.
I'm sorry, that's the one where like you write a name in somebody in a book and
yes, basically the concept is a notebook from a god of death falls into his lap.
A Shinigami.
Shinigami. Okay. And then if you write somebody's name, he can not only kill them, but he can control how they die. And then so this high school kid, really smart, talented high school kid gets that. And his reaction is to be, okay, I want to kill all the criminals. I want to kill all the violent people. I want to just mess them all up. And I want to be like this god of this new world where people are too afraid of being villainous because I'll just kill them.
Right.
Right? Like straight up, I'll just murder them. And yeah, and so it's kind of a back and forth between him and this detective, this like secretive special detective that's chasing him.
Oh, okay. Right?
The name is L, the detective.
Yeah, because like then it becomes a cat and mouse game, right? Like a really good one.
Cool. Really good one. Really only the first half of the episode is good. Basically, at the end of it, I'm going to spoil it for y'all. L dies. The main guy, the guy who's killing people, wins. And then some other kind of, I was going to call it descendants,
mm-hmm.
people from the same kind of tree as L finished the job and captured the main guy.
So rewatching it, were you satisfied with the ending?
But we're actually not finished.
Okay.
It's famously, once L dies,
it falls off.
It falls off dramatically. Okay. Even the intro song.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but I remember the show.
Give it a watch. The first intro song for the show is like this kind of classic, cool anime intro.
Mm-hmm.
Very. I don't want to say cliche. Like you'll notice kind of themes and sounds from other anime songs.
But yeah.
Like it's just good, right? And then the second half, it's this heavy metal like. You know, legit, like, trash metal, like,
rawr! Yeah.
Legit, just them yelling. It's very grating. It was one of the few animes where I've had to skip the opening theme. And I always say, if you don't have a good opening song, you don't have a good opening theme.
What are you doing?
If I have to skip your theme, I have to skip your show. I'm just going to put it that way.
Okay.
Judging a book by its cover, man.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I have no shame.
Well, literally. So Death Note.
It has not let me down yet.
That can be found like Crunchyroll or whatever. Or like
Crunchyroll or Netflix, actually. Netflix. Oh, okay. They actually did the live action. I heard the live action was terrible.
Oh,
I've seen the live action.
I remember the live action more than I remember the anime.
Yeah, I've only seen the live action, not the anime, so I gotta watch.
What was your take on the live action?
I thought it was okay, but I knew Kelsey whatever.
Likes everything, man.
I knew that what I was watching wasn't probably a great representation of what the original was. Yeah. I knew that even I was watching.
Like, thing, oh, I just think it's okay. The original is generally considered a classic. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's generally considered a pretty
good anime. I just think Kosi finds appreciation for things better than we do.
Kosi is great about seeing the good in everything.
The good in everything, yeah.
And I absolutely love that about him as a person.
I don't want to go into something and hate it, because if I do hate it, that sucks. But like, that's fair. I can walk out,
because I'm a hater at heart. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I like that you are like I love that you find things to like in everything, but it also is really hard on me. Because I'm like, hey, was this movie good? And you were like, I liked it. And I was like, I don't know what that means.
Okay. Maybe I should articulate what I liked and what I didn't like. So,
True story. All right, Kosi, what's your plug of the week?
Oh, yeah. So my plug of the week is a show on Peacock. It's called Action. It's actually
called?
It's called Action. It's a series. It follows the world of stuntmen.
Never heard of this.
Yes, it follows the world of stuntmen. So David Leitch. So David Leitch is the creator of the show. So David Leitch is a director, but he started as a stuntman. So he was stuntman for Agent Smith in The Matrix. Oh, so David Leitch and Chad Stahelski are like two stuntmen and partners. They're the guys that did the first John Wick. I think David Leitch also stayed on for the second John Wick, but after he kind of left the series to let Stahelski go and finish it off. But Leitch has done stuff like Hobbs and Shaw, Atomic Blonde.
Whoa. That's a good resume.
And he now is doing Deadpool 2, what he did. And now he's doing the
movie. Like directed or stunts?
Directed, okay. Yeah. And now he's doing Bullet Train was his other one. Bullet Train was his last one, which is an amazing movie, Bullet Train. You haven't seen Bullet Train?
That movie's great.
That was David's last.
That has James Bond in it.
Yeah, it has Aaron Taylor Johnson. Stupid. Amazing cast. So now he's doing a movie called Free Guy, which is based off, I'm not Free Guy, Fall Guy. Based
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt. It was actually an 80s show I've never heard of before. It was a show, but now they're making a big budget movie.
That's kind of what they did with Get Smart.
Yeah, it's a Get Smart 18 treatment, but this looks, it's same idea.
So, 21 Jump Street.
So Action follows just David Leitch's stunt team, 87 North. He runs a whole like stunt program, and it's just about just their lives. And I didn't know stuntmen like the kind of lengths they go to, like the hours, the toll on their bodies. So this series follows stunt people that did stunts for Violent Night, which came out a couple years ago with the David Harbour Santa Claus movie, and then also for Fall Guy. And it's just showing us like what goes into doing a stunt, all this behind the scenes stuff doesn't go right, stuff can go like it's amazing just giving us that bigger appreciation. And so the Fall Guy, which is out right now in theaters, is a love letter to stunts. And like this movie kind of peels that back and shows more of just what stunt people go through. So it's a show on Peacock, just 6 episodes, about an hour long episodes. It's a great show and just gave me a lot of greater appreciation for the craft of Hollywood stunts.
Nice. Can I end with another question?
Oh, of course.
This is directed at both of you. What do you guys think Andy Serkis needs to do to make this next Lord of the Rings movie good?
Not
one considering thing. What we have, The Hobbit and the old trilogy. Considering what we have already, what do you think he needs to do, and what do you think he can't do?
Not watch Rings of Power.
Ooh.
That would be a great start.
Ooh, yes, that would be a very good start.
Well, definitely. Oh, I think
cinematically, it's beautiful though. It's a beautiful show. The Dwarven City's beautiful.
You see
the Numenor is beautiful.
You see the money that they put in. You definitely see the money.
You absolutely see the production.
The money.
Yeah.
Quality.
Yeah.
But oh my god, the writing was stupid.
It was so bad.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
But on a more serious take, like he was involved with the original. I think Peter Jackson's involved as a producer, a couple of people.
Yeah.
Look, we just want to see high fantasy, but
low CGI.
Low CGI, where we want to see.
I think that's what really killed The Hobbit for me.
That was a big part of it, and just the fact that they overstretched it too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to see realness in these characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's inspiring about Frodo, about Sam, even about Aragorn, is, you know, you can relate to these people, right? You might not personally be the next King of Condor, but you've met somebody that gave you that kind of peace of mind, mm-hmm. that kind of leader.
Or you felt that whole pull to become who you are, who you're supposed to be. Yeah, everyone's felt that pull that Aragorn's felt. So yeah, you're right.
You've seen people like Sam, absolute loyal friends, stick with you to the end. Might be kind of goofy or silly, but their integrity and their loyalty can never be questioned. You see the cool guy like Legolas that's actually a nice, friendly guy once you get to know him. See the rougher, drunk like Gimli. You know, it's,
so you need you're wanting some good characters.
I want good characters, plot driven story, memorable characters, not memorable, you know, CGI mm-hmm. or fight scenes. That's what makes the Lord of the Ring great. The fact that you get invested in these people's stories.
Yeah.
The fact that something as simple as them chasing down a couple of hobbits across all of Rohan becomes a legendary take.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's what makes the movies great. Not the magic, not the super monsters or the super dragons, in my opinion. My opinion, of course, I'm sure people will have different takes.
Kosi, what about you?
No, I think Juan kind of nailed it too. Just having characters that we can really relate, not just relate to, but like can really see again, see ourselves in. But I think also, like, story-wise, you have great source material. Not to say, like, because I think the MCU has proven, like, early on, like, you don't have to follow source material to a T, but you can use them as inspiration. I think what Cersei needs to do is understand that, like, this is a beloved series of beloved franchise. Definitely look at the original stuff. When you're writing this, have that sense of, you know, telling a compelling story. Have that sense of wanting to make sure you hit the beats that you're trying to hit to in the movie. Because really, when it comes down to it, he has to make a good movie. As long as he makes a movie that, like, makes sense, that works on all those levels, it's going to be a hit because of the IP that it's in. What I think happened with the Hobbit was they kind of focused on, you know, they felt handcuffed and shackled to, like, whatever the story is. Granted, yes, it's the source material, but I think what Circus needs to do is just set out to make a good movie. I know it's cliche to say, make a good movie first. Everything else will kind of fall into place. You have the IP, you have the team, you have Peter Jackson of all people there. I think Circus needs to focus on making a good, compelling story with characters that we can actually, like, see ourselves in and relate to.
Yeah.
But again, Juan said it the best. I have faith in this team. Really?
If it wasn't,
I think as long as Peter Jackson's there, he doesn't have to, like, direct it. But as long as he's in the room.
Because, like, Circus has been in enough of these to know what he's doing. However, what big shoes to fill?
Yes.
Into a Lord of the Rings
movie?
It's
not
going
to be easy.
I'd be terrified.
It's not an easy task. I think everyone's primed for a good Lord of the Rings movie. I think we're all
probably. Oh, yeah, we're due for one, too.
I think we're due for one. I think they really. I
love that we're ignoring Rings of Power as an alternative.
I don't even really count
Jesus
it.
Yeah, Christ, like, yo, I can't stress enough how stupid that show was.
Yeah, I couldn't. Like, I wanted to like it.
I wanted to love it too.
It just wasn't vibing with me. And it felt kind of hollow and soulless. Yes, it had Lord of the Rings skin. But what you were saying, it didn't have the Lord of the Rings heart and the in there. There wasn't. It had the skin. It looked like it, but you didn't have the other stuff we needed. And I think Circus understands that. Jackson understands that. Hopefully everyone.
I think if anyone can, Circus could understand.
Of course.
Also, no reread of LEGO Elves. No reread of LEGO Elves. Let's just.
Oh yeah. And no, Juan is not saying don't put black people in these movies. He's saying make it make sense. Yes, which I definitely agree with you on that. Yeah. Have. World build, have it make sense, have it be rich, have it have, you know, just long implications. Everything that makes a good movie, really, it's what we're asking. So, yeah, I have faith. 2026, I say it's coming out.
You guys think it's going to be like when Gollum was human?
I think maybe. We've seen enough of Smeagol. I think we're going to just see all Gollum because, you know, they have the money to just do a whole straight up Gollum. So, I don't know. That's where I think they'll go.
We'll wait and see. There's plenty of lore for Lord of the Rings to excavate, depending on what rights they have.
And this December, there's the War for Rohirrim. It's a animated movie that's going to be put out in theaters.
Isn't that like a little anime movie?
Yeah, it's going to be put out in
theaters. Lord of the Rings thing?
Yeah, Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings anime.
Yeah, so depicting that war, that's really cool. So, yeah, a lot of cool things bubbling. But, Eric, thank you, brother.
Absolutely, nice man. Thanks for having me on, guys.
This is awesome.
For being here.
I always enjoy being here with you.
Always come back. You're always welcome. And yes, guys, again, you can find us on Spotify under It Was Mooney. I want to just thank you guys for listening. And we'll be back next week. But until next time, guys, adios.
Adios.
Cosi, we never watched the Planet of the Apes trailer. Yeah, I had to jump in and just talk about it.